begin a series today on the concept of honor. And what I love about the concept of honor is, it's just for me personally, it is one of my favorite subjects outside of even the Word of God. I have always been a fan of honor. I'm always touched when someone is being honored. I am the guy who tears up every time I hear the national anthem. And if it's a little kid, I just lose it. I mean, it's just something precious about it, something special about it. I love it when folks are being honored. I can't wait to honor you volunteers next week with a lunch to thank you for helping us out. I love the concept of honor. I always have appreciated it when I've seen someone be acknowledged for the things they do. The Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And over these next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about honor. And today we're going to honor mothers. Because it's Mother's Day. And someone, I don't know when it happened, but a few years ago, there began to be this talk in churchianity, if you will, about, well, don't forget, some people aren't moms. And okay, the whole world is celebrating mothers on Mother's Day. I'm not going to back off of celebrating mothers on Mother's Day, okay? We're just going to celebrate it. It's fine. And we love all of you ladies. And this message is going to be for all the ladies, but more specifically mothers. I love the concept of honor. I'm the person. How many of you have a certain movie that makes you cry every time? Okay, for me, it's White Christmas. How many of you know the movie White Christmas? If you don't, you are not even a Christian. Just saying, we're going to pray at the altar. But I love it because at the very final, final scene of that movie gets me every stinking time. And I want to tear up every time. And plus, I can hear my mother singing the songs along with it in the background, in my consciousness. But at the very final scene, the general comes out and all of his troops are there to pay tribute to him. He's been long since retired. They got him up in his, you know, in his dress gear. And he comes out and they're singing, "We'll follow the old man," wherever. You know the song? Wherever what? Wherever he wants to go. Yeah, yeah. My daughter finishes every song. That's a whole other story. Anyway. So yeah, I cry every day. They're like coming out and they're honoring their general. And it's like, my gosh, man, how can I get it? And maybe that's part of just being raised in a military family. I really appreciate the concept of honor. When someone is honored, when you hear taps, when you see the American flag go up. And listen, you know what I love? I love when I'm playing golf over near the beach and I hear the sound of freedom flying by. You know what I'm talking about? You know what? Today I want to honor our nation. I want to honor over these next 6 weeks, we're going to honor some things. And so honor is a big deal. Today, we're honoring moms. And I want to do that. One of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. That's why I'm going to take the time today to honor my father and my mother, but specifically my mother. I was thinking yesterday about, it's been 5 years, 5 years ago, April 29th, that my mother went on to be with Jesus. And I was thinking about if I were to call her today, what that phone call would be like. And let me tell you, this is what it was like every year. But let me just share with you my phone call to my mother if both my parents were alive. Ring, pick up the phone. My dad would pick up the phone. "Rodell. Hey, Dad, what's going on?" "Not much. Here's your mom." Hand the phone, my mom would pick up. "Hello. Hey, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. What are you doing?" And for the next hour, I would get every detail of everybody's life. And I know how to pray for everybody. I'd even hear details about some of you, because she was Facebook friends with you and stuff. And you should pray for so-and-so. I'm like, they're in my church. I understand. Thanks, Mom, for the lecture. I love it. You can never quite replace the sweetness of a mom. And they're just special. And I know not everybody's experiences are the same, but we come here today to honor mothers. I love about this series, too, is I'm going to end it with Father's Day. So it's kind of bookends as we honor people over these next few weeks. But I do want to honor mothers. And I think the easiest thing for us to do, if we want to look at how mothers are honored, and they are throughout the Word of God, women are honored all throughout the Word of God. And yet, it's often missed. And while I don't know that we specifically here can relate, I want you to see from the Scriptures how Jesus came on the scene. And we don't need to look very much further than how Jesus treated women to know how God thinks about women and what Jesus thinks about women, and specifically moms, yes, but women in general. And you got to think about the times that they were living in. This was first century Palestine, and the first century Palestine mindset was very much that women were not around, not even welcome into public life. Women were restricted in their worship to the outer courts. They were separated from the men in the synagogue. I saw a very visual picture of this when I went to Romania, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago now, 25 years ago now. And I went to this church. It was a Christian church, a Pentecostal church, a Holy Ghost church. And I walked in the doors and there was two sections, not three, there was two. And there was a big aisle in the middle. And all the women were sitting on this side of the church. And all the men were sitting on this side of the church. And all the women on this side of the church had their heads covered and weren't talking, weren't speaking, weren't praying, weren't singing. But all the men, they got to pray. They got to sing. They got to talk. It was interesting to see this. So firsthand, I saw that not everywhere is quite as free as we are in America. Amen. This is kind of the norm that they stepped into, that Jesus stepped into as he came into his public ministry. He came in, he really challenged the cultural norms, but he challenged the religious thinking of the religious people. They were hiding behind religious thought processes that they developed, and they were dead wrong. And so Jesus comes along and he shakes everything up. I love that Jesus came along and he came to shake it up. But listen, I want you to know, it wasn't so much about a culture change. It was about a kingdom change. He came not to establish a new culture, but establish his kingdom. And he wanted us to know how the kingdom of God works. And how does it work? It works with all of us working together, every single part doing its part. You are all valuable. Women, you are valued by God. Jesus loves God. God loves women. And Jesus loves women. One of the greatest Mother's Day stories that could ever be told is the account in Luke chapter 7. And I love the compassion of Jesus that he shows for the mother from Nain, whose son had been carried, was being carried to a funeral procession. He was on his way to be buried, being carried to be buried. And Jesus, we're told, had compassion on this mother who was burying her only son. And not only did he speak to this woman in public, which was not done, he spoke to a woman in public, but he spoke to the dead son and raised him from the dead and then presented her son right back to him. What a picture of compassion, of the love of Jesus giving back her dead son to him, to her. What a powerful image that is. Let me share a brief testimony with you. Very close family friends of ours very close, they're like family, they're trying to have a kid, miscarriage. Then had a baby, miscarriage again, and then was pregnant again now with their fourth child. And in the midst of that pregnancy, one of the doctor's visits, the doctors said, we're going to need to test your baby. And they tested the baby for Down syndrome, and it came back a 99% chance that this baby was going to be born with Down syndrome. Our friends, she put on her Facebook page how, you know, they just believe God is in control, and they were ready to embrace and love their new normal, whatever the new normal was. They have decided already that this child was a gift of God, and they were going to love the child no matter what, and that was their decision, and it didn't matter, and they were already bracing themselves for whatever, and the doctors were 99% sure. The baby was born, 9 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? Oh, my God. Okay, anyway, just a few weeks ago. She's closer. Women, they know all the details. I don't know how many pounds and ounces and all that. She knows all that stuff, too. My point is this. The baby was born, and then after a couple weeks, they were noticing there were no physical signs that they could see of Down syndrome. So they went in and had the baby tested, blood tested, and 100% zero chance that this baby has Down syndrome. Zero chance. 100% healthy. Now, this is the statement that just broke broke my heart and yet spoke to my heart so profoundly. She said in her post when she was announcing that everything was normal, the baby was normal, that, you know, they're normal in that sense. She said, you know, all along the way, while I fell in love with my caregivers, my doctor and the specialists that were treating me, nearly every time that she went to the doctors, they offered to abort the baby. And their decision, and here's what happened. Here's what I love, okay? So you can just draw whatever inference you want from this, but all I know is this. They were either 99% wrong, or God healed that little baby right there in the womb and gave this baby to her parents who said, whatever you see fit, God, that's what we're going to do. We're going to love this child. I think that's worthy of some praise for God this morning. Amen. That's the compassion of my Father. That's a story that'll preach on a Mother's Day right there. I love Luke chapter 13. And again, I'm jumping lily pad to lily pad for the instances. And so you'll have to study these all out later or just trust me. But women, you're going to trust me because you're a big deal to God. Okay, Luke chapter 13, the Bible tells us Jesus is teaching in the synagogue when he saw a woman who'd been crippled for 18 years. Now, keep in mind, women and men were supposed to be separated in the synagogue, but Jesus not only sees her, he speaks to her and says, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And the story gets even better because he does this on the Sabbath day, which totally challenged the religious thought process. Not only is he speaking to a woman in the synagogue, they weren't even really supposed to be recognized there, but then he heals her of her infirmity and he does it on the Sabbath day. Talk about having a cow. The religious folks were freaking out about this. How dare he? And then in the spirit of love, Jesus actually addresses her with this phrase. And you could read past this a million times and not catch the significance. So let me give it to you. He calls her daughter of Abraham. Okay, I knew it. It was going to go over like, here's what happened. The men of the day all talked about themselves as being sons of Abraham. They're sons of Abraham, sons of Abraham. I'm Abraham's seed. I'm part of the lineage. I'm heir to the inheritance. I'm heir to Abraham's promises. They're all mine. And Jesus comes along and says, not just you, but there's a daughter of Abraham as well. Not just you guys, but there's a daughter in the house that is deserving of God's love and his mercy and his blessing. Jesus comes and he says, calls her daughter of Abraham and letting her know that she was just as much a part of the covenant relationship that God was making with men. In John chapter 4, verses 4 through 42, Jesus presses the cultural envelope even a little further when he speaks to, listen, a non-Jewish foreigner Samaritan woman. Massive cultural mess up on Jesus's part. Who does he think he is? He's speaking to a non-Jewish foreigner, Samaritan woman, and he's speaking to this woman. And this is such a big deal that it even surprised the woman because she says, how are you speaking to me, a Samaritan? She's like, she's blown away by it. Again, so this was totally going against the cultural norms and the religious thought process. And they marveled at it. The disciples marveled at that he would talk to the woman. And they even thought to themselves, why is he talking with her? Which Jesus perceived in that statement, perceived that they were thinking that. Jesus not only speaks to her and has a fairly lengthy conversation, but he honors her and recognizes her thirst for the truth. And not only that, Jesus identifies himself to a woman, a foreign Jewish, non-Jewish Samaritan woman, identifies himself as her Savior and Messiah, and then sends her back into her community where she was very well known. Read the story. A lot of folks knew her. And she went back, come see a man that told me all these things about me. What a powerful story that Jesus actually sends out. Literally, one of the first evangelists was a woman. Come on, ladies. I figured y'all be shouting by now or something. Then there's this story of Mary and the sister of Martha who's sitting at Jesus' feet. Again, what am I saying? Jesus welcomes women and he says, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus welcomes women in, and you're a special place. And I don't mean, like, you get in also. That, please don't hear it left-handed compliment, backhanded compliment. Ladies, you get in this thing also. No, no, you're in on this thing. His blood was spilled for you 100%. You're in on the covenant. Are you hearing me? Mary, the sister of Martha, she's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus speak. Guess who got to do that? Disciples. A woman was a disciple of Jesus. And she's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Martha's off making a sandwich Jesus didn't even order. And Mary is worshiping, doing the thing. And Jesus acknowledges that Mary is doing the better thing, if you will. There's all kinds of instances, and let me give you a few more, of women who were actual disciples of Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, we're told that the disciples went through all the various cities and the villages, preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to them. And these disciples included the 12 disciples, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna. Luke wanted all future leaders to know that women have a place at the table. Not two, they have a place. Not also, they have a place. That you're anointed, you're gifted, you're talented. We need you in the body of Christ. Jesus was letting you know the whole body works together. Jesus was honoring women. And he was honoring women and let them know that they could be in on, they were the early leaders of the church even. I loved when I came here to this church and did a little bit of study. You know, this church was founded by two women a long time ago, but founded by two women. Powerful, powerful. When I came here, this church was being led by a woman. She was interim pastor at the time. And I honor her. She's typically in the first service. I honor her today. Her name's Sue Hegley. If you know her, just love on her because she was here serving this church prior to me coming. This is the first church that I've ever been at that actually had females serve on the board of deacons. Yeah, right? Women can make some decisions. Oh, crud. Don't even get me into that. Good Lord. Women, y'all need to realize us guys are in boxes. And when you make a decision, just because you made a decision and created a new box doesn't mean I get to get out of my box just yet. Got to give me time. My wife is great at creating boxes. I'm like, if you create a box, you deal with it. It's not my box. That's a long story. I love her. I'm not trying to dishonor her today. What I'm saying is she's gifted differently than I am. Very much so. And I need her gifts. I need her abilities. And she's the one that reminds me, by the way, you forgot that box. You skipped into your next box before you finished the last box. And I'm like, I know. It's the gifts and talents. She's so gifted. As you leave here today, I dare you not to turn left and go to the parking lot just because you're in a hurry, but go check out our muffin bar out there. I mean, gift of hospitality. This woman is the most hospitable. Pow, thank you. But I honor her because, guys, I just got to be honest with you. If it was up to me, you'd be lucky if the Costco wrapper would have taken off the muffin thing. There'd just be muffins laying on the table out there. You'd have to come with your knife. Man, somebody should have opened these, you know. She's got them all out there with doilies and pretty little things. And I'm muffin without you. I saw that on one of the signs. So cute. Who thinks of that stuff? Not a guy. Well, maybe a guy that wears a pink shirt on Mother's Day might think of that. I don't know. But thank you for that, because I'm just saying, I'm honoring that gifting. But listen, ladies, you're all gifted in so many different ways. We need you. And Jesus was coming to say, I need you. The first evangelist was a woman. Come on now. One of the first evangelists. Not only that, yes. Yes, they do. They being you. We're also told in the scriptures after this is powerful. But Mark's describing the crucifixion, and he says, there were also women looking from afar. Notice that phrase. Oh, women knew they had to, women, know your place. That was a message that I preached a couple Mother's Days ago. Woman, know your place. Diane, I know you look at me every time I say that phrase, like, I love that phrase. Woman, know your place. Let me tell you, woman, you know where your place is? Right next to the Father God. Your place is at the table. I'm telling you right now. Know your place. So there were also women looking from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him. Listen, these women followed him and ministered to Jesus when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Women were a part of the disciple. Women got to roll with Jesus. Women were allowed to hang out with Jesus and be disciples and to share the gospel. And then one of the greatest messages Jesus ever said, one of the greatest words he ever spoke, he spoke to a woman when he spoke to Martha as she was weeping over the death of her brother, Lazarus. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when he fulfilled the truth of him rising from the dead, it was Mary Magdalene whom Jesus chose to appear to first. Mary Magdalene, you know about Mary. She was one of those ladies of the night. Jesus appeared to her first. Jesus likes broken folk. He's drawn to people who have a broken heart. Jesus is drawn to those. He said it's the sick who need a physician. He appears to Mary Magdalene and entrusts Jesus. He entrusts her with the news of his first appearance. The very first word out of our resurrected Lord's mouth was the word woman. Wow. Woman? Who put the stone in? No, I'm teasing. He said, woman. And then when he stood up crying, he said, Mary, why are you weeping? The very first name he spoke after rising from the grave was Mary. On this Mother's Day 2019, the clear message from Jesus is that women should be given honor as he himself gave them honor. Despite the confines of the culture, Jesus went out and healed sick folk, sick women, women with an issue of blood for 12 years. Jesus honored women by healing them from their unique physical illnesses. He honored women by revealing himself to them. Jesus honored women by welcoming them as the disciples. He honored them by entrusting the very most important message that he's alive, he's not dead, he's a living, risen Savior. He did all that because he was honoring women and showing us a more excellent way. Once again, let me say it. It wasn't about just shifting culture to shift culture. It was about establishing the kingdom. And we've got to know that the kingdom works if we'll all work together. You using your gifts, me using my gifts, you bringing your weed eater. Everybody working together to accomplish the goal, the prize that God's called us to. I miss my mom today. I miss my dad. But you know how it is, guys. You know the athlete. He does something incredible on the field. Touchdown, home run, camera hits him. Hi, Mom. Dad's sitting there going, I taught him how to throw the stinking ball. Where's mine? Where's my... Like I knocked that kid out a couple of times just to try and, you know, teach him a good... I taught him all the... Hi, Mom. You know, moms are revered in our culture. You're loved today. We want to thank you and we want to honor you. And you're special today. And we want you to feel special. I'm going to close in just a moment with a prayer. But we're going to show a quick video just to honor moms. And again, because honor is such a big deal to me, I trust that this video is going to touch your heart as we honor moms today. Go ahead and roll that.
Hey, Mom, I got these for you.
Thanks, Mom. license. Mom, I got into state. Mom, she said yes. Mom, it's a boy. Hey, Mom. Love you.
Love you, moms.